I appreciate you being here tonight. Take your Bible, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I have three series going on. I have an Old Testament book. That's the book of Ecclesiastes. I have a New Testament book going on. That's the book of Acts. I have a topical series going on, and that's what we're coming back to tonight. And that topical series right now is sound doctrine, just different doctrines of the Word of God. And we're currently studying the doctrine of the local church. I want to pray with you here momentarily and to bring you up to date with where we are. And then we're going to give you the conclusion of this thought tonight. And we're going to give some application here about what to do with the local church. Now, this is not an exhaustive study. You understand that. How can you fully exhaust a Bible doctrine? All it is just tapping it on the head, like survey work, so to speak, Bible survey of these Bible doctrines, and asking the Lord to speak to our hearts. Let's pray together, and we'll begin this study again. Father, would you help us tonight? Fill us with the power of God. Help me to teach with clarity and conviction and compassion. May you deal with us thoroughly. We do pray for all the programs going on right now, from the nursery to the 3, 4, and 5-year-old class, to the kids' camp, 1st through 6th grade, to the teen enlist program, the 7th through 12th graders, all of those that are teaching, all of those who are preaching tonight and leading. I pray that you'll bless from this pulpit all over these grounds, and may your will be done, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The word church in God's Word, anytime you see it, it refers to one of two things. It either refers to the full body of Christ, in other words, those who are God's children around the world, referenced in places such as Colossians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 5, or a local gathering of baptized believers, such as the churches located in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11, the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians, the churches in Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, all in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. One man put it this way, the Greek word ekklesia, which is translated church in our English Bible, it literally means a called out assembly. In order to meet this definition, the New Testament church must be understood as a local, autonomous, that means self-governing congregation, or assembly of believers gathered together in a given location with a common purpose. Dr. Clarence Sexton put it this way, the New Testament church is a local assembly of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. Now, this study that we're looking at on the doctrine of the local church is we are focusing on the local church. In other words, not the full body of Christ. In other words, believers over in India help make up the one body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this local assembly gathered in this local place here should be an accurate picture of what the true body of Christ really is. The local church is to be an accurate picture of the body of Christ made up of all born-again children of God. Now, it's important to understand that Jesus Christ established the local church, and it's therefore important to Him. Now, in this study, we will consider different things about the local church. This is a local church here in Gray, Tennessee, where nobody's forcing you to come. You are voluntarily coming here of your own free will to join here together with another band of believers in order to get fed from the Word of God and go out and get the gospel around the world. Now, this is what this local church is all about. And we want to study churches like this. Now, I'm focusing on ours because we're sitting in it tonight, but we are the local church. The local church is not a building, it's a people who is gathered in a specific location. Are you with me tonight? Yes? Here we go now. Let me just tap on the head what I've already done, because I'm getting to the conclusion tonight. By the way, my sermon notes, all of this is available to you. If you'd like to have it, just let me know. I can email it to you. We can photocopy it. You can have it. All of that's because I'm going to be going fairly quick tonight, God willing here, and giving you a lot of scripture, but turning to very little. So stay with me there in Hebrews chapter 10. The first thing we noticed about the local church, I've already preached on this, you can go back and get it. Number one, we've studied the master of the local church. The master of the local church is the Lord Jesus Christ. The church does not belong to the pastor. The church does not belong to the people. The church belongs to God. And we need to understand that, which means He calls the shots. I don't call them. You don't call them. He calls them. And we are to get our leadership from Him. Number two, we studied the mission of the local church. In other words, the purpose of it. We gave you three of them. Number one, it's to exalt God, to worship God. He's the one and only. He's not the one of many. He's the one and only is who He is. And we are to exalt Him, worship Him. That's the first part of our church motto. We're to have a heart for God. In other words, everything we do should be done to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have Him as our goal, other decisions are already made. That means there are certain things we will not do here because it does not please God. There are other things that we will do here because God is pleased with it. As a matter of fact, that right there is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, about the local church, is to realize that we exist to glorify God. We need to understand that because, friends, that simplifies life. It really does. When you truly have God as your goal, that all you're going after is to please Him, then it settles everything else in life. It really, truly does. Number one mission is to exalt God. Number two mission is to evangelize the world, to get the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. Again, we are to be a local, regional, national, global reaching church. We're to go all around the world. That's part of the mission of the local church. Number three mission is to edify God's children. That's what's happening tonight. Every time you come to the house of God, you are being edified. You're being built up. Now, that doesn't mean that you feel good all the time, okay? Conviction is part of edification. We understand that encouragement is also part of edification. That's the mission of the local church. Number three, we studied the metaphors of the local church. The pictures of it, the illustrations of it. We looked at several of them. Again, this is not an exhaustive study, but we looked at several of them that God calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. What's that mean? We studied it. Go back and get it. He calls it the body of Christ. He calls it, number three, the household and habitation of God. He calls it, number four, God's building. Number five, He calls it God's husbandry. And then the final one that we studied, He calls it the temple of God. Go back and get it. I've already preached on it. Then number four, we studied the makeup of the local church. In other words, the organization of it, the structure of it, the composition of it. There's many things that we could have said there, but I brought out two things that among the composition, the makeup of the local church, it's made up of two scriptural offices. That's the pastor and deacon. It's also made up of two scriptural ordinances. That is baptism by immersion and the Lord's Supper. Now, that's what we've studied thus far. Now I want us to think tonight about this question. So what? So what? What's it matter? What am I to do with all of this information? Now, again, I want to say this. Thank the Lord for the local church. Now, I was talking to somebody this week, not from this church, to somebody I know, not a member of this church, not even in this area, somebody out of state. And they made a statement to me this week. I'm paraphrasing the way I took it. Now, maybe I perceived it wrong, but this is the way I took the conversation. They basically said that they think it's going to take something outside of the local church to reach this generation. That it's going to take something separate from the local church to appeal to this generation. I say phooey on that. I say hogwash on that. The local church is God's idea, friends. God established the local church. And may I say this to you, we've got to be very careful about parachurch organizations. We've got to be tied down to the local church. It's God's idea. Now, this being the case, I want to thank God for it. Thank God for this local church. By the way, only God could keep this church going for as long as He's kept it going. Thank God for the local church, specifically this church, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, the truths we looked at in this doctrine should motivate us and should encourage us to take certain actions concerning the local church. In other words, what should we do with the local church? Obviously, we're speaking of the local church that is teaching and that is preaching the Word of God without compromise. I'm talking about a local church that is pleasing to God. May I say this to you? God's not pleased with every local church. He's only pleased with a local church who is preaching His Word faithfully. Now, when you find one and you're sitting in one, there are certain actions that you ought to take towards it. Now, I'm talking about as you pray and seek the Lord, about where the Lord wants you to go, all these kind of things. I know I'm talking mainly to church folks tonight. I get that. I'm talking about folks that call this church your church home. There may be some here, obviously, who do not call this church your church home. I know, for instance, that we have a visiting couple with us tonight. Good to have you folks with us tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here. But these are things that this crowd probably already knows. But you need to be able to articulate it to other people. I'm going to give you five things tonight that you and I should do with the local church. Now, I remind you here that this is not exhaustive. You can add to this, okay? But I want to give you some things here that is a great start to do with the local church. And these are not only things that we should do as adults, these are things that we ought to teach our children to do with the local church as well. Let me give you five of them. Number one, it's so simple, it's ridiculous. I know. But honestly, it's the simple things that changes our lives. Five things to do with the local church. Number one, attend it. Just be here. Now, you are here on Wednesday night. Thank you. You should be here. If you call this church your church home, you are doing the right thing tonight. By the way, God's not impressed with us just being faithful to church. He's not impressed with that. That's just basic Christianity, friends. There is no doubt that one thing you and I should do at the local church is to attend the services. Now, you're in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Word of God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Folks, the longer this world goes, the more, I hate to say the more important because it's always important, but the more vital it is that we stay together as a local church. Now, this being the case, let me give you several reasons. Now, I do not encourage you to take notes here. You're not going to keep up with me, okay? Because I'm just going to mention the passages. If you want this, I'll give it to you. I've got it all here in front of me. But I want to give you several reasons why we should attend God's house. Now, by the way, if I have to teach this and convince somebody that they need to be faithful to God's house, there's a problem already, friends, okay? But let me give you several reasons why. We've already looked at one of them. Number one, God commands it. He says right here, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That is a command of God. We are commanded to do this. Number two, we need it to mature. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. For the perfecting of the saints. He's talking to the local church at Ephesus, and he said, I've given you pastors and teachers and all these people for the perfecting of the saints. You know what he's telling us? You need it. I need it. I'm going to say this to you, and please don't, if this comes across arrogant, that's not my spirit at all. But I need my own messages. And the beautiful thing about pastoring is that I get it about three times. I get it in my study while I'm meditating, studying it. I get it while I'm typing it out. Then I get it when I preach it. And sometimes God says, that's for you, big boy. In other words, we've not arrived. And somebody says, you can worship God out in the woods. I know you can. Do it another day of the week. Amen. Because if you do not come to church, you do not understand that you've not arrived. Has God ever spoken to you through the message in Sunday school or in the pulpit or some special service? Amen? Has he done that? That's part of the reason you need to come to church. And the thing is because God knows what we need when we need it. I'm starting to get riled up right there. I don't know why. But anyway, that's number two. Number three, it encourages God's man. And I can say this personally now. Personally. You know, a pastor gets used to where you sit. You say, well, I'm gonna fool him next time, sit somewhere else then. But a pastor gets used to where you sit. And you never know when I look at it and I see, and I don't see you, you never know the tricks the devil starts playing in my mind. I'm just getting real with you tonight, okay, friends? It's okay to get real with you, right? Listen. If I start looking, you're not there. I start looking, you're not there. Honestly, one of the first things, not all the time, one of the first things like, are they upset? Have they left? You say, yeah, I'm being honest. I'm a human being, friends. And I'm telling you, when I look out and see you Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, on the flip side of that, you don't understand what it does to me when I look out and there you are again. It just encourages me. Now, that's not a huge reason to come to church, but I'll be honest with you, it's a pretty good one. It's a pretty good one. It encourages God's man. This is found in 3 John verses 3 and 4, where he talks about, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And just talking about just faithful. Thank you for being faithful. Honestly, thank you for being faithful. Let me give you a fourth reason, to give the right representation of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 talks about we're ambassadors of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Think. Don't think too much about this. This is not a trick question. Do you think if Jesus Christ was still in bodily form and the house of God is open Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, do you think he would go? Yes. Sure. We represent him. Which means whatever he would do is what we should be doing. And if you think God would be in church, and he would be, then so should I. I can already tell I'm not going to get through this, okay? Number five, this is all under attended. Number five, to train your children right. Proverbs 22:6 talks about training up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I encourage us all as parents to set the right example for our children. And one of the greatest, one of them, not all, but one of the greatest things you and I can teach our children is that when church time is coming, it's not up for discussion. We're going. We're going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's not up for discussion. Now that's training the kids right. Let me give you another one. You have influence on others. Psalm 78 verses 1 through 7. Let me just quickly give you these. It affects other areas of your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13 and 14. I have yet to see a strong, soul-winning, evangelistic, godly person who's not faithful to church. Now, I'm not saying they don't exist. It's possible. But you show me somebody that the local church is not a priority and there's other spiritual things that are not a priority. It affects other areas of your life. Let me give you another one. You expect it out of others. Matthew 7, 3 through 5 teaches this. Let me ask you a question. Do you expect the staff to be here? Say, yeah, well, they're getting paid for it. No, they're not. They're not getting paid to come to church. They're getting paid for the work of the ministry during the week. You expect the deacons to be here? Amen, you should. So do I. But why should we expect it out of leadership and not expect it out of ourselves? Let's go on a little bit. Others are watching you. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, 1 Corinthians 4:9, Romans 14:16. Others are watching. 1 John 1:3, here's another one for Christian fellowship. We need each other. We need to be strengthened by being around the family of God. Let me give you another one. It's a good thing. Is it a good thing to go to church? Amen? Yes? You know what James 4, verse 17 says? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Wow. I remember old Dr. Curtis Hudson just talking. This is off the subject. But he said he was out soul winning one time. I'm going by memory, so there may be a few of these details I don't have right. But there was a guy who set up a visit with him, wanting him to come by his house, so he did. When he got there, he realized they set a trap for him. There's these people bringing him over to debate him and all these other kind of things. And he said they were saying all this stuff. He said, wait a minute. He said, now you all, you know I was trying to come over here to win somebody to Christ. I had no idea what you all were doing. And he said, you know that what I'm trying to do is a good thing. And you kept me from it, didn't you? Then he quoted that verse. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Just kind of shut him up right there, friend, anyway. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to go to church. It's a good thing. Hey, there are some Christians around the world who don't have one to go to, friends. And we should not take this one for granted. Another reason to put God first, Colossians 1:18, Matthew 6:25 through 34. To glorify God, Ephesians 3:21 says that's why the church exists, is to bring glory to God, to show you truly love God, John 14:15, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. On and on we could go. On and on we could go. Let me give you some advice here. Find the local church of God's choosing for you and stay put. Pastor Jack Treber said this, and he quoted this. I'm quoting it, and I agree immensely with this statement. Listen to this. He said, I believe it is extremely dangerous for someone to pull his marriage or his family out from underneath the umbrella of safety of the church simply because he was offended at something or someone. And I say, amen. May I say this to you? If this is God's choosing for you, the devil knows that too. And he'll send somebody your way that'll get under your skin. And before you know it, you'll be tempted to say, maybe we just need to look elsewhere. Here's what I say. If God leads you to look elsewhere, I'll be the first one to say, amen, let me help you. I'm serious when I say that. But it better be God telling you to do it. It better not be emotions telling you to do it. Because if this is God's will and you pull your family out, it will reap. You will reap what you sow. Now, listen, God knows my heart. I'm not trying to force anybody to stay here. I want you here if God wants you here. I don't even want to be here unless it's God's will. But unless I know it's God's will for me to leave, I'm crazy to leave. And it's the same way with you and your family. Don't look for an emotional connection, but rather a doctrinal connection for a church to attend. One man said it this way, it is a sad day when Christians determine where to attend church based on the quality of the band and the style of music or the charisma of the pastor. And I say amen to all of that. Fooey on. Okay, what kind of music do they have there? What kind of preacher is the pastor? Does he shout? What's he do? Does he swing from the chandeliers? No, he can't reach him. But anyway, don't ever choose a church on the style of the pastor, because the pastor may not be there next week. Amen. You should choose the church by the doctrinal connection. Are they straight biblically? And if they are, then God ought to show you something drastic to make you go looking elsewhere. It's okay to say amen right there, friends, okay? Number one tonight, what should we do with it? Attend it. Number two, as God leads, you should join it. Now, when you find the local church of God's leading, when you find it for you and your family, you should pray about becoming a member of that local church. All that means is that you're unashamed to say, I belong there. God has called me there. Let me give you several reasons why you should do this. Number one, it's a place to glorify God. Number two, it's the New Testament pattern in Acts chapter 2 and also Acts chapter 5. They were saved, baptized, and added to the church. It's a place for carrying out the Great Commission. God gave the Great Commission to the local church. And the local church has believers coming in to help it unite to get the gospel around the world. Look here, friends. We can do more than me. Did you hear what I just said? We can do more than me. And we unite to get the gospel out. It's a place to worship the Lord and keep the ordinances. God did not give baptism to your family. It's not biblical for a daddy to go out in a creek and baptize his little baby, his child, those that got saved. He's not the authority. God did not give the ordinance of baptism to the daddy. He gave the ordinance of baptism to the local church. And the Lord's Supper, partake, that's a local church ordinance. This is another reason to become part of it, because this is where the ordinances are carried out. This is where the Great Commission is carried out. It's a place to grow in the Lord. It's a place to find encouragement, fellowship with the believers. It's a place to bring tithes and offerings. These are all reasons to become part of the local church. Cooper Abrams, he's one of our missionaries. He put it this way. One thing is clear. If Christ established the local church, then no believer should ignore it or refuse to be part of it. The church is a vital and necessary part of a disciple's life. A believer outside the church would be like a fish out of water, end quote. Becoming part of a local church of believers is like becoming part of a family. And as a family of believers, we should strive to be in unity and harmony with one another. So number two, we should join it. Number three, we should support it. Number one, we should attend it. Number two, join it. Number three, support it. Now, you and your family, that once you land in a local church, and I realize that most of you have landed here. I get it. I understand. I'm just trying to reemphasize some things. Then you and your family should support the local church. Now, three areas to support the local church would include prayer, finances, and doctrine. Let me say it again. Prayer, finances, and doctrine. If you can't, now listen to this. Again, God knows my heart. This is just me giving some doctrine here. If you cannot support a church doctrinally, you're in the wrong place. If you cannot support the church prayerfully, say, I just can't pray for that church. I cannot pray for the leadership. Then you're in the wrong place. And if you cannot support it financially. Now, I realize that some people I'm not talking about how much. I don't even know who gives and who doesn't. I'm so free about that, honestly. I don't know if you give or not. Preacher taught me that. You know, he does have a little bit of wisdom. Do you know that? He taught me that. He said, listen, I don't touch the money. I don't sign checks. I don't know who gives, who doesn't give. But it makes me free as a bird to say this. If you are not supporting the local church financially, at least with your tithe, because that belongs to God. If you're not at least doing that, and you say, I'm not going to do that because I don't agree with that place, then why are you here? Honestly. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be biblical, a biblical pastor, that it is God's will, when you find God's will for a local church, to support it doctrinally, to say amen. Not necessarily out loud. I mean, you can anytime you want to, but I'm saying you're in agreement with the doctrine, so you're supporting it doctrinally. You support it prayerfully, praying for the leaders, praying for one another, and you support it financially. When the Lord leads you to a church, you should support it fully by praying for the church, giving the church, staying true to the doctrine of God's word. Listen to these verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. That's the local church. What were they doing? They were continuing steadfastly in doctrine. Nobody was going to change the truth in that local church. And God give us members like that here. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour ye out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, giving is part of worship, friends. It really is. Show me somebody that cannot stand to give to the local church, and I'll show you somebody who's not in touch with God. You ever heard this? I'm not going to that church. All they do is ask for money. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time I preached on money? I hardly ever do it. But I'll tell you this, if somebody moans and groans, there it is again, money. That person's heart's not right with God. Amen. That includes me, if I ever got to that point. Dr. Clarence Sexton said, support the ministry of your church with financial gifts, prayers, positive comments, and participation. Number one, what should you do with it? Attend it. Number two, join it. Number three, support it. Number four, serve it or serve in it. You know, we live in a day when people seem to look at the local church as a place to serve them. In other words, what can that church offer me? And what's in it for my family if I go to that church? That is the wrong attitude towards the local church. It is this: are they preaching the truth of God? Are they uncompromising? Are they going God's way? Are they trying to get the gospel out? Are they trying to please God? Okay, amen. What can I do to help, Pastor? That's the spirit that church members should have. It should be, how can I serve? Not how can I be served? One man put it this way, one of the ongoing questions you should ask yourself and God in prayer is this: how can I best serve my church? You should never ask yourself if you should be serving your church. Should I? That's a question you shouldn't even have to ask. Yes, you should be. Becoming a part of the local church should mean you are there to serve, not be served. One man said it this way, my guess is that churches would be a lot healthier if members decided to serve and to be last. It's time to give instead of being entitled. Wow. What a statement. And that is the truth. Where, and by the way, we've got it here. We saw it last night in canvassing. That we've got a group of people here that, I mean, they're just servants. Amen. I'll say this to you. That's one reason God's blessing this local church. It's because we've got people who want to serve. It's not all about, well, I'll tell you one thing, they don't have anything for my kids there. Really? Really, we don't. Come on, friends. We don't have anything my teenagers there. Really? I'm telling you, fooey on that mindset. It should be more of, am I getting fed there? Are they preaching the Word of God there? We're praying, do we have peace to be there? God's told us to go. Yes, no church is perfect. Look at the pastor they've got. We know it's not perfect. Look at all this, but I'm going to tell you one thing. We've got pieces of family that's where God wants us. And we know that every time we go to church, somebody is going to preach the Word of God faithfully. We know that we're going to get fed in Sunday school. We know our children are going to get fed in Sunday school and in children's church and in kids' camp. You know what Daniel's going to be doing over there with your children, first through sixth grade? He's going to be setting them down. You ought to go over there and look at it. He's got it set up like a fake campfire. It's not a real fire, okay? Okay, parents, just relax. It's like a fake campfire. He's going to be setting them around over there and giving them just Bible principles about how to have character. Bible character. Like how, just different things like what's it mean to have integrity? What's it mean for a child to show respect to his authority? and show them from the Bible what that means. That's what your children's learning over there. You know what I say? Amen, Daniel. Go get it. That's a blessing, friends, to realize that you're in a local church that's going to preach it to you straight, and you ought to say, okay, how can I serve here to make this church even have more influence than it has now? This is it. Let me give you a final one. I'm done. The fifth thing here, I thought I wasn't going to get through it, but I did. Here we go. Number one, what should we do with it? Attend it. Number two, join it. Number three, support it. Number four, serve it. And number five, promote it. Promote it. Now, the local church that is teaching and preaching God's word faithfully, unfortunately, is a rarity today. I'm talking about nationwide. Now, we live in a great area, okay? We've got several local churches in our area. We are not the only local church. Look at the Bristol revival we just had. That's local churches coming together, unifying and going the same. We live in a great location for local church. I'm talking about just nationwide, worldwide. When you look at the entire scope of things, a church that's teaching and preaching God's word faithfully is a rarity. And I'll say this, it's needed. And when you are a part of a local church that is pleasing the Lord, preaching the truth, doing its best to get the gospel around the world, and you are convinced that this is God's place for you, or whatever church it is, you should do your best to promote it to others who need what the church offers. As it's been said, the most powerful tool in generating traffic to your church is an empowered group of people who are excitedly out in the community talking about Jesus Christ and your church. Someone said the size of your church does not have to affect the health and reach of your church. Size does not determine influence. God's power and blessing does. And we must get the people in the church to get out and promote the church. A good place to begin promoting the local church is among what we're pumping nowadays is what we call friends, relatives, associates, neighbors. Pastor Clarence Sexton put it this way. I'm paraphrasing his statement. It's not a direct quote, I don't think, but it's very close if it's not. He said, it's not about getting the community in the church. It's about getting the church in the community. Do you understand what he means by that? You know, I'm just about done. I know you're saying amen. Thank the Lord for that. That's great news. But anyway, the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all nations. Teaching them. Baptizing them. And teaching them all things. You know what the word go there means, to my understanding, according to my study? It does not mean have a set time and go. There's nothing wrong with that. We do that. And by the way, you ought to put it in your schedule. Amen. You know what that word goes? Go means? It means as you are going, go. That's what it means. It means as you're just going about your day, go. It's like today when I, today as well, but yesterday I was in the John City Medical Center. I was visiting some people up there. There was a gentleman in the hallway. And God said, I didn't know he was there. I'm just going there to visit. You understand? There he is. And the Holy Spirit of God says, there he is. Stop and talk to him. I stopped. I engaged him. Here come the tears. And he pointed in, he said, are you the chaplain? I said, no, I'm not a chaplain up here, but I said, I'm an area pastor. He was right across the hall from the chapel, and there was a lady in there. And he pointed in there, and he's crying. He said, can you go talk to her? So I did. She wasn't very open. She did take a gospel track. Only God knows what will happen there. Come to find out her son in his 20s had some kind of brain damage. And she was just absolutely brokenhearted. That's what the Great Commission is. As you go, keep your eyes open. And God will have people where you are. Now I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about, friends. God loves people so much. Now listen to me, please. He loves this lost world so much that He'll have them in the same place that you are going now. Because He wants you to promote the local church, but more importantly, promote the gospel and try to get somebody under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I challenge you as a church. And I'm going to be honest with you, there are many times, I'm ashamed to say it, many times in my life when God's pointed out somebody like that gentleman that was in the hospital yesterday, and I walked right by them, started reasoning with God, oh, they wouldn't take it, all this kind, and then feel like a piece of trash later. I've been there, friends. And I'm going to say this, I'm glad I feel like a piece of trash when I disobey God. This world needs Jesus. And I know I sound like a broken record, but friends, I'm glad I'm broken on that record. That we've got to get serious about this. Amen. God is still saving people. That's why the rapture hadn't taken place. So let's get busy promoting. You know one of the easiest things you can do? Honestly, invite somebody to church. That's one of the easiest things you can do. Take a gospel tract and say, I'd like to invite you to my church. Even if that's all you do, that's better than nothing. Start somewhere. Invite people. Promote this local church. Let's reach more people than we've ever reached before. What should we do with the local church? Those are five important things to do there. Now let me close this by saying this. Thank God, again, thank God for the local church. What a blessing it is to be a part of what the Lord established. The Lord established the local church. We should never take for granted the great privilege we have to attend it, join it, support it, serve it, and promote it. Because it's what God established on planet Earth. Don't ever let anybody degrade or belittle the importance of the local church. And if somebody says it's going to take something beyond the local church, don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Because you know what that person's saying? God was wrong. He didn't realize that that's not good enough what He just established. I'll guarantee you this, when God established a local church, He's given to the local church everything the local church needs to get the gospel from here around the world. That's a guaranteed fact. The problem is not with God's establishment. The problem is with the people inside the church who are swallowing the lies of the devil. So this is it. This is teaching tonight. I know. A little preach came out of me there tonight. I get it. But let's love the local church and help it do more than it's ever done before. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you bless tonight? Help us to be faithful to you, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I never want to let a service come and go without giving people the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. Because I know the Holy Spirit of God is not in a box. And I realize that the Lord can take even this doctrinal message on the local church and reveal to somebody that they need Jesus. They need to be saved. So tonight, if you have never trusted Christ or if you're concerned that you never have, then I invite you in just a moment when we open the invitation to come, let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you, how Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again. But tonight, I know that it's kind of been a similar time during this invitation time where I'm just asking folks who are thankful for the local church and feel like God would have them respond in such a way to come and just say, God, I want to thank you for establishing the local church. Thank you for making my family part of the local church, whether it's this one or whether you're from another church that's preaching the gospel faithfully. Maybe God just wants you to come and say, thank you, Lord, for establishing the local church. And would you keep us true to you, faithful to you? And may we never add to what you've told us to do, and may we never take away from it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have Brother Gary begin to sing. And I do hope that some of you will get out of your seat just to say thanking God for the local church. Hey, I want to thank God tonight that my children are over in these programs. I've got a teenager in Enlist right now. I've got a daughter in the kids' camp. I've got two daughters in the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. And right now, I'm not worried about them. I know they're getting taught truth. Folks, that's a blessing, friends. And some of us tonight who still have children in the home, we ought to just thank God that we're in a local church that not only where the adults get the truth, but where the children do. That's a blessing. Father, help us, I pray. Help us to be thankful. Thank you for it. Be grateful Christians tonight for the local church. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's beginning to play through softly. Brother Gary's going to sing. If you want to come and just thank God for the local church, I want you to come. Would you do that? Thanking God that He's given you a place to come, to worship, to serve. Something, a place where you don't have to worry about what's being preached or taught. Thank God for it. No doubt about it. A place worthy to promote, invite others to. This is it. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Sing one more verse, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.